You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Good evening and welcome to the show. Want to hear one of my favorite sounds in the world?
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah, LaCroix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little seltzer water.
Pamplemousse.
This is actually a hard seltzer. Did you say pamplemousse?
Yeah, I did.
Nailed it. This is a grapefruit hard seltzer from Carback Brewing Company in Texas, Dallas. I think outside of Dallas, and it's called Ranch Water.
I've heard of that.
Yep. Rainwater.
Yeah. Rainwater. Is it good? Let me see the sip reaction.
Okay, hold on. You gotta see this live.
Whoa!
Is that loud? Oh, that's nice. Oh. It kind of tastes like a LaCroix, but it's got stuff in it that makes you feel happy.
So not
does it
like
make
LaCroix.
You feel happy, Troy? Does anything make you feel happy these days?
Momentarily. I'm very tired. This is late. What people don't realize is like, oh, you're watching this 8 o'clock Eastern, maybe 5 o'clock on the West Coast. It's quarter past 10 here when we're recording this. And this is, for some of us, the seventh hour of recording today.
This is the end of a very long day.
Bit of a marathon.
Bit of a long week. As well, which is fine. I mean, we can play games. It's not a big deal. But get ready for some loopy humor. How's everybody doing? Let's check in with... Does my voice sound really cool right now?
Yeah.
I'm like hearing it in my cans. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but like, I kind of feel like I should have my own radio show.
You are that guy.
I've got good news, Troy.
No, but like on Sirius, I should be like,
no,
and
I am
coming
serious.
Up next,
you,
here's
you have your own show.
Thriller by a pedophile.
Oh
dear.
No. Well, sometimes your mic does that.
Now I don't think you should have your own radio show.
That's what separated me from the pack. One of the greatest pop stars of all time who also diddled kids. Here's Billie Jean. I think that we should have more honest disc jockeys. That's what we should have.
That's what this country
Moon-like.
Needs.
Anyways, I could hear it in the cans. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. I feel good. I'm wearing a sweater, and it's not sweater weather, but I'm clinging on to it. You know, spring's here, summer's coming, not my favorite, but I'll be damned if I'm going to stop wearing a sweater. And I'm wearing a very light Banana Republic sweater that 6 months ago, frankly, I couldn't fit into. And now it's quite comfortable.
You filled out a little bit in the past 6 months?
No, I went the other way.
That's impressive with a new baby.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Good job, Troy.
Well, listen, I'm not here to brag.
Well, no, because I saw your Instagram story, your Marky Mark-esque waking up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym.
Inspired to be better.
Uh-huh. I saw that, and I was like, that's very Boston of him.
Yeah. Marky, hey, listen, you know my motto in life. If Marky Mark can do it, so can I. I've lived by that ever since I was a teenager.
Good motto. Matthew.
Kate, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm in a tank top because I'll be damned if I gotta wear sleeves. Because sleeves are annoying, generally.
Did you make
I've also been working out a lot.
You have.
Look at
the guns.
Look at his shoulder.
There really is some shape there.
Whoa. I know. I'm doing like a lot of burpees and like punching a lot.
Yeah, wow. Punching burpees.
Punching a lot.
So watch out.
What are you punching? Are you punching heavy bags?
Yeah. I found a kickboxing place around here. It's mostly just like working out really hard, less like Muay Thai jiu-jitsu learning stuff. But that's all I want, I think, I guess. I just want to kick a bag until I want to barf and then do that every day.
That sounds fun. Now, I'm glad we're taking you on the road now because we've always wanted to have a bouncer backstage.
I got you. I can show the people. I can punch them.
Keep the riffraff out.
Just take him to the gun show.
I can use my words and make him feel really bad.
What tat did you have on that bicep that you showed us? Is that a flower or a dragon or a skull?
It's like a Day of the Dead skull. It's like like my third tattoo. It's pretty cool. And then Tweak, my cat, my beautiful, perfect cat.
Oh, look
at
that.
It's a newer one.
And, yeah. I feel like Tweak has been a guest on this show several times.
She has. She's my little, I'm usually wearing black, but you can usually still see her. She's my little void creature.
Void creature.
Yeah. She's old now, so when she meows, she just goes, instead of actually meowing.
She's an umbral cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
she should have her own radio show.
The Day of the Dead features prominently in the Disney, I believe Pixar classic Coco. Are you guys familiar with Coco?
Yeah, of course.
It's a great, really a great fucking story and movie and good music. However, I have trouble explaining the plot to my children because it's like, well, he thought it was his grandfather, but he ended up actually murdering his actual grandfather. He poisoned him. Like, it's not for kids. It's not a kids movie, but it's marketed to children. It's got a lot of fun songs and colors, but it's the whole premise of the movie deals with a murder of the main character's great grandfather. Anybody else follow me on this? It's very inappropriate. He was watching it tonight and I was like, well, he's not a good guy.
It doesn't matter. People overthink this stuff all the time.
Kids don't murder, really
though.
Know.
Kids don't, their mind doesn't operate the way that yours operates. The kids
that murder
are,
Lion King.
The kids
that's
that do
kids.
The fun, the fun melodies and colors, they're not really following along with that stuff. And the kids that are old enough to kind of get it, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with murder stories for an 8 or 9 year old. They need to know.
Also,
it's dark out there.
Some folks in the niche have told me that they watch our shows with their kids.
Oh, really?
Yes, and the kids love it. The kids love, they monitor the episodes and they're like, they pre-listen. I don't think they show them every episode.
I don't know about that.
Sydney, I have heard you. I mean, I'm the most guilty on the call, but I have heard you, who everyone should trust, dropping some hard F-bombs, like hard.
Not even like cursing, but at the Boulder show, we talked about magical dildos.
A lot.
Well, yeah, but that's the too kind much. Of thing it doesn't matter with kids because it's not a curse word and they have no idea what you're talking about. So it's
and
fine.
And I'm saying we murder
Friday
on the
Night
show
Johnson.
All the time. And the kids...
I believe it said Friday Night Johnson. On it. I just want... That's a clue that has yet to been solved. So I just want to throw that out there.
I think
murder.
It's good. Yeah, let your kids listen.
You think murder's just like, it's one thing if Darth Vader is just like, chokes a guy out. I guess that's pretty bad too, right?
Yes. But, it's the same thing.
He poisons him. He actually kills him. Matthew, I know you have a strong feeling about this, and I want to hear.
I just think it's just really revealing that you have a lot of anxiety about your kids watching a patricide happen on screen.
Well, it's not
a little insecure there.
If it happens in
are
the grandfather line,
get some ideas.
Is it still considered a patricide because it's a great grandfather we're talking
it's
about?
It's a great patricide.
Well, you don't want their kids killing you either.
Patricide. It's a great patricide.
Good Friday, the best. Skid, how are you doing?
Great.
How are the Mets doing?
Mets are pretty terrible the last couple weeks, but hoping things turn around. I, like you, I'm looking forward to watching some basketball after this.
After this recording, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have this this card here that is featuring Mets superstar Pete Alonso. I got in a pack of Tops, and it says, pick a game for a shot to win. And so I had to rip a thing off the back and then guess a game that Pete Alonso would hit a home run. And so now we've pre-recorded this, but I picked tomorrow night because he hasn't hit a home run in like 7 games. And he normally hits a lot of home runs. And if I win, I win $10 million.
Is that true?
Really?
I don't know what the prize is. But
that's a lie.
Also, this doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, pick it? What do you mean? You go in and you tell him like, hey, I picked it.
No, I had to enter the code, and then I had to say tomorrow
night.
He's going to hit a home run.
I thought it was just like your word.
Yep. No.
So yeah, I swear.
I swear. You know the one he hit yesterday. Yeah.
I picked that.
That was when I guessed. You'll never $10 million.
I don't have a truck big enough for all the money, but I can come back.
The grand prize is a trip to the 2024 next year's Home Run Derby. So I imagine just hitting it, maybe you just get another one of these cards. I don't know. It's probably not that great.
Where's the Home Run Derby next year? Where's the All Star?
I know. Where is it? Like, I don't know if I want to travel to.
What if it's in Vegas?
Well, it won't be in Vegas.
Exactly. I picked the one place he would go.
I mean, I don't even know what the question was. I just heard
2025.
2024.
It's Texas, Globe Life Field, Texas.
Oh, is that the new Rangers Field?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be nice.
Oh, they have a new. Oh, I didn't know they had a new.
Yeah. I mean, that whole parking lot with Jerry World and the old Rangers, they just keep building stadiums there. Anyways, I don't want to bore you guys with talk of pedophiles and stadiums. Let's have some fun.
I'm trying to look it up. It does not appear that there is a Latin term for the killing of one's grandfather. However, there are a lot of Latin terms for the killing of one's family. But my favorite so far is avunculicide.
Whoa.
Avunculicide?
The killing of your uncle.
Oh, I was like, avuncle sounds like uncle. Wow.
Yeah, it's like avuncular. I mean, like,
before you move on, I have to ask, even though this isn't really pertinent to anything, is there anyone here that hasn't seen The Godfather?
Yeah.
Of course. Why would we think that Kate has.
You mean you haven't seen? No.
Is there anyone here that hasn't seen it more than 100 times?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen The Godfather maybe twice.
Same.
How did you avoid it, your life of watching television?
Because my dad, you will watch all this stuff because of your dads. My dad was like, nah, it's Italian stuff.
My dad was a Rocky watcher. I've seen all the Rockies against my will over and over and over again.
The same thing with James Bond. My dad was descended from people that hated English people. So like that whole culture, they just despise. And now my dad, it's so funny, as he's like, you know, in his mid 70s, he's just like, yeah, I kind of enjoy The Crown. He doesn't want to say it loud enough in case his dead ancestors can, or his dead ancestors can hear him.
Ryan and smite him down. Irish peat bog.
Big Joe.
did you just watch The Crying Game and Michael Collins your entire life?
I watched a lot of Michael Collins. Yeah. And Braveheart. Braveheart was a big one because it's not Irish, but it's very anti-English.
What's the Pierce Brosnan movie that he made where he's a Golden dad who loses custody? Yes, Goldeneye.
No, over the top.
Yeah, was your dad?
You said loses custody.
Was your dad particularly tickled that James Bond was played by an Irishman for many years? Like, did that give him a little bit of joy?
No, I don't think my dad has anything against James Bond. He just never watched it. He's never. I don't know. So yeah, Godfather, James Bond. These are movies I never watched.
Brosnan movie where it's an Irish movie. He's a dad. He loses custody of his kids. He's fighting to get them back, and it's very Irish. I can't remember what it's called. Our producer CJ has chatted in to tell us that the name of the movie is Evelyn.
Thank you, CJ.
Thanks, CJ.
Well, the only reason I bring up The Godfather is I feel like we should all watch it sometime and drink wine.
I agree with that.
That'd be fun.
Can we make Clemenza's tomato sauce?
A little bit. The secret's a little bit of sugar.
It's a little long, Kate. If that bothers you,
it's a little long.
What were your thoughts?
It doesn't feel long.
What were your thoughts on the commentary on The Godfather in the White Lotus? Because I know you're like a White Lotus fan, and it was a very new wave like interpretation of this. It's not male fantasy show. And I imagine Matthew being like, he just ruined The Godfather for me.
I'm only three episodes into the second season, and they do mention it. Is there more?
I won't spend as much.
It's just that one comment.
I would argue that the argument that that character makes is the argument the movie is actually making, you know, but that it has become a kind of like weird male fantasy movie instead. So I think The Godfather is actually doing a lot of what that character says.
Hmm.
Well, speaking of the greatest movies ever made, let's talk about this combat. which has lasted combat. six episodes.
People can't stop talking about it.
I mean, it really
can't stop playing it.
They call it the godfather of Pathfinder combats.
Yeah. And this is about to be, wait, the worst one? Isn't Godfather 3 the worst one?
Troy?
I think it gets a bad rap. It's only because Sofia Coppola is a terrible actress.
The new edit, the newest edit is very good. It's a much improved movie.
Better than one or two?
No.
Still the worst movie.
And true aficionados don't even call it The Godfather 1 or 2. They just say, you want to watch one? And everybody knows what you mean.
Kate seems so excited.
Kate, I think you'd really like it. It's a phenomenal...
She won't like it. She hates it.
She will not like it.
We shouldn't make... Do you know how many times Kate I've had by this conversation her watch a three-hour Italian movie.
About every movie I should have watched and I'm not going to watch?
Well, let me ask you this question, Kate. If you're locked into hanging out with us, like let's say we're like in an airport somewhere, or like we're all on a delayed flight or something.
Let's say we all got diverted to Harrisburg.
We all got diverted to Harrisburg.
There's nothing else to do.
For an example. And you're going to be with us for like 4 hours regardless. Would you rather watch a movie with us or listen to these nerds talk about sports?
Oh, that's nice. A toughie.
Got her.
I mean, but if you're talking about sports, I can tune you out and then like do my own thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
and
she'd
I'm watching
rather
a movie. It's like
that.
We got to watch it together and then we're going to talk about it afterwards. And it's like, oh, God.
Oh, do you see the eye roll on talk about it? Just even talking to people. Okay. It's like,
after I watch a movie, I like need to be alone and not like decompress from all of the turmoil I just went through sitting there through a movie.
Kate, I love how strong you are about this opinion that is so hated. I love that you stand your ground no matter what people say. It's honestly so wonderful. I like it a lot. I'm like, yeah, fuck movies. I love movies, but I'm like tempted to be like, yeah, I'm on your side.
Yeah, I'll never watch The Godfather.
I might never. Yeah.
Well,
you're a real Rosa Parks.
Jesus Christ. You're a real Jesus Christ. My God.
You're a real Jesus Pox.
Jesus never watched a movie either.
That's true.
That's true.
So there's makes nothing more Christ-like than not watching a movie.
Hey, is that the Messiah over there?
You said I was like Jesus, not me. You said Jesus Christ.
That's what you say. You say that I am.
Such a martyr, Kate. Oh my God.
Can't help it.
All right.
Troy, I have to get something off my chest.
You got more?
I'm next. I haven't been called on once, and I have to get something off my chest next.
Oh, I thought we were going into the combat. All right, Joe, go. Mine's about the game.
Mine's about you.
Oh.
Joe, you got something to say about Sydney? You know what? This is a safe space. I think you should just say what you want to say to her.
We have been
recording.
Sydney's been involved in this. All day today. It's been a very, very long day, and it's very late. But I'm a little weirded out. It's very late. Are you drinking a Bloody Mary? What is going on with you?
You were drinking a High Life in the last one, and then I saw
you're
you
just,
with the Bloody Mary.
You're waving this celery stick in front of us, gaslighting me like I'm the crazy one. Biting on a celery stick.
Sid, is everything okay?
I was cracking up because I am drinking a Bloody Mary. I love Bloody Mary.
So do I on a Sunday afternoon. I'll drink 10 of them.
To me, a Bloody Mary is an anytime delight. You can have it in the morning. You can have it at night. It's an anytime delight for a girl named Sydney.
Okay.
I was laughing
How
because
many
I
you had.
I was laughing because Troy was opening the show and I went to take a bite of the celery stick and Joe was like, somehow I could feel him making direct eye contact with me through Skype. And I was like, ooh, shouldn't bite into the celery stick on mic. I'll just move over here. And it just got funnier as I tried to not bite the celery stick.
Yeah, my look had nothing to do with the inevitable clash of that on mic. My look had to do with, is that a Bloody Mary? Do you know what time it is?
Cheers.
Good for you.
Enjoy. I guess I'm just jealous. That's all it is. I'm just jealous.
Honestly,
I want a Bloody Mary.
I don't have much. I'm setting up like a little bar area. I'm not a huge drinker, but I do have Bloody Mary mix because I like Bloody Marys. And when I was upstairs, I just was quickly like, oh, I want to make something to have And I had Bloody Mary mix, so that is.
Did you have? Do you have the top notch, the Brooklyn top notch Bloody Mary mix? What's it called, Troy?
The Brooklyn Pickle Factory. What's it called? Brooklyn Brine. McClure's. Yeah, McClure's is really good.
No, but I'll definitely get that next time. That sounds great.
So good.
Zigzag is also good. Yeah, it does make
I might
sweat.
Have Zigzag. Yeah, Zigzag.
Yeah. Zigzag is more like Zigzag's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's good though.
Like, is really good.
McClure's.
Yeah, McClure's.
For guys who are making fun of drinking Bloody Marys, you sure like to talk about how to make a good Bloody Mary.
Well, listen, if I'm not on a plane, I'm not drinking one at 10:15 p.m.
You really never drank a Bloody Mary at 10:15 p.m.? Jesus.
That's true.
It's not very godly of you.
Not very godly.
Sorry. Can I talk about the game?
Oh, you have, yeah, please.
I realized something as we opened the show. We ended kind of on my turn. But I realized I made an error in my math calculation, and I wonder if I can retcon it, because I was off, as we remember in the last episode, I was off by 1 point.
I did. As we went off the air, I said that it was DC 30, and you had said you rolled a 29.
I realized.
And now, conveniently, 7 days later, your math has changed.
No. I realized, listening back, Eris gave us all
infectious enthusiasm.
Single right.
Point. And she it literally just happened in turn order. And I was so caught up in not being able to move past the dragon. And I was looking at the rules for tumble through. I had completely forgotten about the additional 1 point. So
that is a real shame that you forgot about that.
But it's a, my hand is not off. My hand is not off the chest.
She hasn't done anything since.
We ended right after I said what was going on, and then you ended the show. So technically, I haven't taken any other actions. I haven't done anything else.
Right. That is, it's not false.
It's amazing. If memory serves, the whole Cliffy last week was, Suki made the Cliffy again! And for the second week in a row, the Cliffy is in question of its legitimacy. And Troy's going to have to make a ruling that undoes the end of the last episode.
We have
2 weeks in a row.
Lifting the veil. We have not recorded cannon fodder for last week's episode yet. So now we're going to look like dum-dums when we don't even talk about this.
It's not the first time, really.
Matthew.
Well, it's your ruling. I just wanted to bring it up because I also didn't want to look like a dum-dum for the listeners who were like, Eris just gave you a point, you know.
Literally, like, just gave it to you.
I know. And
there's a lot of math going
I'm
on
here.
I'm
a dum-dum. I am a dum-dum. And that's
you know
okay.
Who else you have
on.
To blame? Kate and Matthew and Skid and I.
I'm unconscious.
I don't remember either.
Everybody needs to remember.
If anyone should have remembered, it should have been me.
That's a team fail. That's
sure.
A team fail.
I take a shoulder at this time around, but I wanted to bring it up in case you were feeling generous, Troy. You seem happy. You seem like
it's
you're
tricky. It's
you
tricky,
good.
Right?
Is that a get a hit?
This is not the time nor place, but I appreciate it. you know, there's a number of different ways to do it. She gives you this thing. You could go on your cheat and add that. What a pain in the ass, though, for something that lasts like a round. I played in a couple games at PaizoCon 100 years ago where the GM would like, not even the GM, the players would be like, I buff you and would like hand you a card. And so you'd remember like, oh, I got a +1. I got a card.
Great.
I think people like do that, which just seems cool.
We should do that when we play in person.
Yeah, that is actually a really good idea.
It's fun. You know, I've seen like bards that like make cards with their bard shit on it and be like, you get this shit. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's fun. Not for me, but for other people, that could be fun. In this case, you just plumb forgot because there's a lot of math flowing around. I'm going to allow it, but not because you remembered, but because Eris earned this. She used an action. She gave you a little juice, and I think you should use it. And the fact you're only off by one makes all the difference in the world.
Eris used two actions.
Two actions.
It's a big deal.
Two actions. So sorry, folks. You're not going to get the attack of opportunity. Instead, you're going to get a tumble through so you can get to the spot that you wanted to get to. Do you have any actions left?
No, and that was the whole thing. I didn't have any other actions, so it really felt like a waste of everything turning into an elemental and using my move action. So that's it. That's my turn.
All right, so you did say that you made this whole flourish about fire and stuff. Are you a fire golem?
I'm a fire elemental. I used elemental form 5th level.
Awesome. Okay. Is that a medium-sized fire elemental?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me just get you out of there.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I hate to...
Go ahead, Joe.
How did you move all the way up there?
That was all part of her movement.
I have 50 feet of movement as a fire elemental.
Oh, that was one move action. Awesome. Well, this is also difficult terrain, what you tumble through. So you might be back 5 feet, maybe closer.
Let me double check. Good call.
Suki Oriana Isolde?
Suki Oriana Isolde.
Nice. All right. Let's, you know what? Let's just finish this thing off. Seems like it's right at the end.
Yeah. Well, we've got it on the ropes.
Good thing it's Atticus's turn.
It hasn't fleed.
Atticus, it's your turn. Finish it off with your blaster spells.
First of all, I don't like your tone. I'm the only one in this party with blaster spells.
It's not saying much.
It is not. All right, Atticus is going to move 30 feet into an area where he can see Zakritia. Then...
Don't forget the darkness.
He's got dark vision.
So the creature is concealed to you.
Concealed, yeah. It's not going to matter on this one because Atticus is going to fire off a lightning bolt.
Nice!
At the creature. So it's probably not going to do literally anything, but we got to try.
You don't know.
So it is a reflex save.
A reflex save. Let me just
come
look at
on, Natty 1.
Immunities.
Come on, Natty 1!
35.
For realsies?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No. I would never lie about my dragon's reflexes, and you know that.
Never lies about his dragon reflexes. Okay.
Was that a critical success or just a
regular? It was a really good roll.
Yeah.
It was a really good roll.
I felt like it was good when it came out.
I did as bad as well as I could on that. That is 13 points of damage.
Nice.
Okay. And... Yeah. The reason you don't need to roll against concealment, even though it's a targeted spell, is that it's a straight line, so it's not like it misses.
Right. It's just you get a reflex save, and I can see you. All I have to do is be able to see you. Concealment would factor in if I was rolling a two-hit roll.
Right.
But
at the end of the day, though, you could easily metagame and be like, it's a straight line spell. Let's see what happens. In which case, it's...
But you can't. If you were hidden from me... you can't. I guess you could with the straight line spell. Maybe you could debate it, but usually you can't because you have to have line of sight, which means you have to see it.
You have to have a target.
Right.
Yeah,
and it is technically concealed to you because of your dark vision. I just like hearing the sound of my own voice right now. It is Ethel's turn. Ethel, I'm going to need. You're at zero.
I'm at zero. I'm still unconscious.
Still unconscious. You don't gain any HP.
Nope.
Okay.
I am, this happened last turn, but I'll bring it up. Even in my dreams, I'm a little less afraid.
Less?
I'm no longer frightened.
One could say you're no longer frightened.
What do you do when you're unconscious? Is that effectively just your turn? Your turn is just...
You're sleeping, you've been knocked out.
Yeah, if you're unconscious, how can you be frightened at all?
I could have been a nightmare.
Twitching. It's like if you're under anesthesia, you're not dreaming. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you're unconscious, if you've been knocked out, how could you be frightened?
But it also doesn't matter mechanically. It also doesn't factor in.
But that's what I'm saying is it's like a lot of these mechanics, they're gamified rather than actually representative of what reality would be.
Well, in a way, I think this is perfect. It's like you're not really frightened, but even with the frightened condition, when you're unconscious, nothing is really going to impact you for the frightened penalty because it doesn't affect your role to recover or anything like that. It's just your DCs, which you're not doing any DC stuff when you're unconscious, you know. So it's interesting, but you're not frightened anymore now, right, Matthew? Like it's completely gone. Yeah,
it's completely gone.
Yeah, you just have the unconscious condition, which includes you can't act, and you take a -4 penalty to AC, perception, and reflex saves. Reflex saves could come and be important if it does another breath weapon, for example. You would actually roll against that, even though you're unconscious, but with a -4, which could mean, a higher chance of a critical failure. But in this case, your turn is over. And it's the dragon's turn. The umbral dragon, who referred to herself as Orsifelius. He thought she was a lowly janitor. But in fact, she dragon. Suki is a fire elemental, and Ethel is unconscious over there. So I guess my only course of action is another breath weapon. Both of you give me a reflex save.
That's the both of you includes Ethel Merman?
It does, and it's not your fault.
It is. It's Suki's fault. She drew attention right to you.
Ah!
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a critical fail.
That's going to be dying three, dude.
Oh, no.
Oh, because of the wounded John.
Wounded John.
Suki's there to heal, I mean, too.
I'm assuming. It's a natural four, so I rolled a 15.
Oh, boy. That's a 28 pursuit reflex, right? 28.
Yeah. All right. So this is interesting, right? Because I assume Suki's going over there to do some type of healing on you, which is what you need at this point because you don't want to die. But is Suki going to go down? Let's find out. You rolled a 28. Okay. So that's a failure.
Wait, question. Can you use a hero point when you're unconscious? And I, as the player, use a hero point.
I don't see why not, and you know that you most likely critically failed with your four, so feel free.
All right, I'm going to use my hero point.
Okay, minus 40 reflex.
Yeah. Yeah, I rolled a natural one on the second roll.
Oh! No.
Oh, that's the hero point that could have kept you alive.
Oh, yeah.
Auto alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're having a good time. Did you get refundable tickets to St. Paul, by the way?
We'll
talk
about that later. We'll worry about that later.
We'll worry about that after the show.
Your services will not be required.
You got trip insurance, right, Matthew?
You got trip insurance? You got to get trip insurance.
I can do color commentary. Come on, we have a long history of that.
Oh, dude, how great would that be? To, like, show up on stage, no character, just, like, sit back with a little club soda, just make fun of everyone. It's awesome.
I wouldn't make fun of everyone. I would just enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And occasionally pepper in fun facts about Minnesota.
In the meantime, I'd like you to take 84 points of damage.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll just take myself to dying three.
Suki, you take 42 points of damage. As you're covered in this thick, shadowy awfulness, just energy, negative energy just being drawn out of your body and empowering this umbral dragon. And unfortunately, Ethel falls all the way to dying three. Does Suki fall?
No.
Well, shit.
Wow.
Do I stay wounded one, even though, right? That doesn't go away, even though it's contributed to the increased dying number. Yes.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. Like, we haven't quite done this before, but I think that, well,
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just if you...
Yeah, because what happens if you recover now? Do you add the one to the three and you're wounded four and you automatically die?
Wounded two if I recover now?
You're wounded three, right?
Okay.
If you gain the dying condition while wounded, increase your dying condition value by your wounded value. The wounded condition ends if somebody successfully restores hit points to you with treat wounds.
Okay.
Or if you're... Yeah, so it doesn't go... If you already have the wounded condition, when you lose the dying condition, your wounded condition value increases by one. So I think it's just...
Oh, you were right. You were right. So you go up to dying two.
Wounded two.
Wounded two, sorry.
Yeah.
If
this
I recover.
Goes up by one.
If you
lose the dying condition.
When you recover. You know,
unless it's treat wounds, in which case the wounds go away.
Right.
All right, still has one action left. Man, that wall of flesh. Yeah, don't forget... Eris, you're going to get to do an attack against me if I remain in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check out Orsifelius here. What do I have for
you? Just made a shit ton of people that are listening to this as a podcast think that their app just went wonky. That just like fast forwarded your turn. Did I accidentally hit four times speed?
I'm just going to attack Suki with my tail, which has a 15-foot reach.
Oh my God.
That would be my full base attack, Bone. 32 to hit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious why you didn't get that attack anyway, after she tumbled through. You don't get a provoke the entire time?
I think tumble through. If you succeed on the tumble through, you succeed on the tumble through. End of story. I don't get the impression that it's like you have to tumble through each square. That just seems overly pedantic. All right, I'm rolling a couple D12, in case you're interested. In case, if anyone's following along at home, that is going to be not bad, could be worse, still not great. 25 points of slashing damage as the tail just... Shaboom! It's a sharp tail, a sharp, shadowy tail.
Yeah, take that damage.
She takes it.
Sharp shock.
Like a...
Short, sharp shock.
Champ. And it's Aldo's turn. Aldo has been struggling, trapped by this magical torture device. No one coming to his aid. Atticus tried and failed.
There is no help. I have no options.
Can you get rid of the wall? Eris, is that even possible?
There's nothing in the spell that's like, this is how you make it go away. It just says that it lasts for 10 minutes, unless it's destroyed.
You can also use your attack on me, by the way. We forgot to do that.
Your wall attack. So my wall attack, now that you mention it.
Now that I bring it up.
That will be a 30 to hit.
That is a hit.
Sick.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay, and that was...
6 points of damage, I believe. Oh, no, you roll...
I have to roll it, plus my modifier. A 2 again, so 6 total.
That was right. Okay, the meat wall is there. While Joe looks up if the meat wall can be dispelled, it is Aldo's turn. Very tricky.
Yeah. Okay,
man,
yeah.
I feel Aldo. Like we want to wait to figure this out before Aldo passes his turn.
Aldo is like, get me out of this thing! Get rid of that... bloody meat wolf!
I thought I was helping.
No, it's fine. I mean, you did really
I don't know how
best.
To get rid of it. I'm sorry.
No, there's no blame being thrown. It just really, well. Well, what's the point in arguing? All right, first attempt is a natural one.
Oh, boy.
Second attempt is a fail. Third attempt is a fail.
Okay, so you're just trying to pull your way out of the restraints. You don't have dispel magic, do you, Aldo?
I don't have any spells.
You don't have any spells, okay.
Yeah, I'm just holding this glow stick, waiting for the rave to start.
All right, I mean, thank goodness you're providing some light here as Pepsi cowers on the stairs. All right, it now goes to Eris. Joe, have you learned anything about dispelling meat walls or dispelling spells in general?
No, you know what's wild?
Used to
apparently
be the parentheses D.
We're the first Pathfinder 2E game to ever want to dismiss a spell.
There's an action, page 305 of the core rule.
Yeah, but it says it in the spell if you can dismiss it. And I don't see... I've never seen a spell say you can dismiss this, so I'm curious if I'm missing.
I just came upon a Reddit post that was like, explain dispel magic to a child. Pathfinder 2E Reddit. Explain dispel magic to a child. Oh, I love this game.
Yeah, like the first one that I thought was like promising on Reddit. It's just like as soon as I click on it, it's like, well, if I'm sustaining a spell, can I just stop sustaining it? Like, that's not what I need!
I'm not sustaining it. It just says duration 10 minutes. And I don't need to sustain it, which I thought was really cool. But then as soon as I erected it, I was like, what if I want to take it down?
Some spells can be dismissed.
I mean, it's amazing to me that this isn't immediately answered on multiple forums. People are just like, this is where it says in a spell you can dismiss it or not. Just don't get how people... A million people haven't asked this question.
Yeah, this seems like the kind of thing that would happen all the time. It's like, oh, in this battlefield, I would like a wall made of meat there. Now it's no longer useful. I would like to remove it, please. That's never happened.
Right? The only thing I can think is that if it's a spell that requires concentration, that spell can be dismissed. But, like, just put that in the King's English.
No, a spell that requires concentration, you wouldn't need a dismiss action. You just stop concentrating.
Stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Get distracted.
As defined by the spell.
The dismiss action has the concentrate trait, which is weird.
I was looking back through Pathfinder 1E walls to see if that could give us any context, and it doesn't. It just depends on what the wall is, if it's dismissible or not. Wall of force, you can dismiss. Wall of stone, you can't. You know, so which suggests to me like that if it's like a physical wall of meat, it's not dismissible.
It's a forever wall. Forever wall.
No, not forever. Eventually, well, 10 minutes.
It's a 10 minute wall.
10 minutes, or the meat just starts to rot.
Or the dragon's got to squeeze through it.
Or the dragon which takes cooks 10 minutes. All a nice turkey dinner.
Yeah, what kind of meat is it?
Yeah, what kind of? Yeah, good question.
It's a wall of flesh. It's not a meat wall. It's a flesh wall. So it's skin meat.
It's skin meat.
I guess. Okay. Yeah.
It's your classic skin meat.
It's not healthy at all.
I like to think maybe it's like a tongue wall because it's a mouth. So like a lingua wall. Anyway.
Gross.
Gross. I can't dismiss it. And every 5 feet of it has 75 hit points.
Yeah.
So I'm not destroying it in one action.
Oh, sorry. The dragon takes damage. Did we miss this? Or it gets
We did that.
You did it.
Mm-hmm. You were in Joe land.
You missed it?
No, I hit it. It just took 6 points of damage again.
Oh, great.
You were at the top of a Jola coaster.
I wish. So, Aldo, you're holding this, like, bottle of light because use any spells at
light.
It because I can't see it through that last 5 feet of shadow.
Oh, right.
And I want to be like, walk up to you, grab it, but then I'd have to move again, and then that's my turn.
Right.
But I don't know what else to do, because then if I don't do that, next round I won't be able to do anything again. So maybe that's what I do. I go up to him, like, Aldo, I see you're having trouble, and I'll help you in a sec, but can you please hand me that bottle of light that you have?
Right, but be very careful, because it'll explode.
Don't worry, my chicken fingers are very, very strong.
Okay.
And so she walks up to you, grabs the thing.
Okay.
And then walks over here. Right, Nia. I feel like I have line of sight here, and unfortunately you do too. Or actually, no. I'm going to do 5 feet away so that I can step in and then do something next time. What are you going to say?
Don't Sid? Forget about the tables.
The tables?
The tables will grab you. I know you know, but we haven't played in a little while, so like, don't forget about the tables.
Walking by the tables. But
don't stop where the table is. I think you might be fine walking by them. Maybe not. I don't know. But
all right.
Troy is just squinting, just waiting.
He's short circuiting like
he's not doing well.
Like a robot.
Yeah. So, races. I have a pair of races.
Coming
grab
out of his
the
ears.
Light. And I want to. I gotta be within 30 feet for a lot of my spells. So unfortunately, it is what it is. And I stop right here in between these two tables with the light. So now hopefully I can see it, but what does that mean for me?
All right, so you went to Aldo and you got Aldo's light?
I took the bottle from him and then I walked right here in between these two tables so that hopefully I don't have light of sight to you yet.
Okay.
Well, preparing for my next turn.
Let's put the old John on you and then remove it from Alde. All right, so you've got the light, and you see it counteracts most of the darkness. There's a little bit of a layer there. I would say that it's technically concealed from you. So if you
and
want
it does
to
have line of sight to you, for the record, and line of effect.
Where it is?
Yeah.
If you want to finish your turn in a different area to, like,
if you
cover
move
that
up
overlap.
One, it
well, then I end my turn up 5 feet and just plan on moving into position my next turn. So
yeah,
I can
now
do
it
I
doesn't
do.
Have line of effect on you. Because, yeah, that meat wall, it cuts through the meat wall there. Okay, great. Wonderful. That's where you end your turn. And oddly enough, that table next to you...
Yep.
Goes to strike you.
Cool. Yeah. No, it's fine.
Dang it. Table! Don't ask about the tables!
Don't ask about the table. What is your job?
Not about the tables!
Like, don't get near the tables, but I gotta get near the tables.
How,
I love you, Skid.
How high over your AC is a 42?
Holy smokes.
More than 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a critical hit. The table is unnamed. However, the damage is done. 38 points of piercing damage, and you are grabbed by the table.
I didn't know that could happen like that. I don't know if I... This is okay. All right, I'm adding the grab to condition. Cool. No, this is great.
I didn't drop your
brutal.
Your bottle of light, though.
Bottle of red, bottle of
bottle
white.
Of light.
So when you're grabbed, it also automatically put flat-footed on for me, too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it's horrible. Aldo has been this way for 3 episodes. Suki, shockingly, got out of it right away, and Ethel just chose to die instead. Let's take a quick break to think about this.
What's going on, Nash? I just wanted to hop in here for 1 second to say a huge thank you to Jay Knight of Dauntless Snacks for sponsoring this episode of the show. Not only that, I want to thank Jay Knight for creating the greatest beef stick on the planet. Jay Knight is a longtime member of the Nash, for those of you that don't know, who was inspired by the GCN small business dream and threw caution to the wind during COVID and decided to start his own small business, a snack company that is dedicated to serving gamers, streamers, dreamers, and creators by serving 100% grass-fed, quality, non-greasy protein snacks to gamers. That's there when you need it, where you need it. Jay is one of us. I have met him several times at Glass Cannon live shows, and I urge you to support his company if you're able, in the same way that he's supporting ours, honestly. And the best part, 1% of all of his gross website sales for this entire year are going to the Colorado Children's Hospital. So visit dauntlesssnacks.com. That's DAUNTLESS snacks.com to get 100% grass-fed, grease-free beef sticks delivered right to your door. There are multiple flavors. More new flavors are coming this summer, which I'm very excited about. So once again, check it out at dauntlesssnacks.com. Keep seeking your adventure.
It's the top of a new round. Let's call it round 5. Could be 6, could be 4. I don't care.
337.
It's Suki's turn. Suki, you hero. You just got blasted by a breath weapon and a tail attack. But you bravely went in there because I would assume you feel some sort of affinity towards Ethel as a teammate, as a friend, as a potential lover. Where's your head at?
No. Actually, Suki completely forgot that Ethel was in there. And she is just so mad at this dragon woman for talking about Alaric.
That's what it was, yes.
She was furious when she drew her bow and stepped out of the invisibility, and she is still fucking pissed. And she wants to rip this dragon to shreds.
That's right. That's going back a couple episodes. But when Aldo was talking to her, she seemed pretty cool at first. And then she was like, oh, you should have seen the last idiot we had in here. And goes on to explain how she tortured him to death. That he was sick in your world, meaning Galarian. So he chose to heal himself in ours, meaning the dimension of dreams. And heal he did, but he was corrupted by this place. He wasn't innocent, but this world is not for the innocent. He was corrupted and brought here as a punishment. She says that Yath-Kep, the one that you meant, would try to rehabilitate him, but that's not how Arknar works. Horrible.
I have a question, though, back to the knowledge that Aldo learned, because Sydney as a player forgot.
Sure.
This creature is like necromantic in nature. It does like negative energy damage. Is it like an undead creature where positive energy would damage it, or does it not?
No. Now that's not to say, no, it's not undead.
Okay. So then
it's more of a shadow creature.
Got it. Just checking. I was going to do something, but I'll do something different.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a one action spell, I'm going to heal Ethel. I'm going to touch him with my elemental form because I have hands. So I'm able to cast touch spells.
Do you burn his flesh at all?
No, I think I can control it.
Okay.
That's flavor.
Maybe she cauterizes the wound.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I am going to heighten it, though, so you get 2d8s plus 8. So let me roll. 13 plus 16, 29. So you get 29.
Okay.
Points.
Says Ethel.
And that was my one action. So then second action.
And that
action,
should remove wounded, right? Because it was magical healing. Is that what we determined? All right. So you're no longer, you don't have the wounded condition. You have the dying condition. You're at 29 hit points. You're just prone.
You wake up to a fire elemental behind a meat wall next to a
If I had a dime. This is barbecue I've ever seen.
And it smells.
Ethel's woken up in worse places than this. Let's be honest.
And Suki says, it's me, Suki. And then she goes, I'm going to die, but I will kill this dragon first. And she goes up past Ethel to punch this dragon. She's going to die. She's so close to death. But I am going to do a melee attack with one of my like fiery tendrils against you.
Okay. The dragon does not use its AOA.
Okay. My plus is different as a dragon. That's going to be a 32 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah, yeah, I got a good plus at this 15, fifth level spell. It's a plus 18.
Nice okay. Plus.
So that's
nice plus.
Thanks. So that's going to be 13 fire plus 1d4 persistent fire.
Okay, all right, we'll roll that on its turn. 1d4 nice. Persistent fire!
Fire!
And
fire!
That's the end of the turn, so I probably will die after this, but that's it.
But hey,
punching
a
dragon, though, is so metal.
Right. She just, whips it. She, whips it against its neck, and it sears its neck. She's so mad.
It's like you think Mungo in Blazing Saddles is
punching the horse.
Yeah, and the horse dies.
Do you think if you were ever attacked by a shark in the ocean, you would have the wherewithal to just punch it in the nose?
Absolutely.
I think you'd be like, ah, boom! Because I hear that's enough. But then it'd be like, all right!
Skid, how do you have that?
How did he do a shark gift so fast?
Skid, that was way too fast. Like I told you about that bit yesterday. I don't think I was fully through the bit or the word arc had come out yet. And you're just like,
delay. I'm on it. And he just like slammed that thing.
So funny that. Yeah, all right. We can talk about Landshark forever. I don't know why. When I first started watching SNL as like a teen, I thought that was the funniest.
It is a funny
thing.
Bit.
It's a funny, funny
bit. It is
bit.
A really funny bit.
Candy Crab.
I'm only a dolphin, man.
Candy Crab. All right, that was Suki. It's Atticus's turn. Atticus, you're no longer frightened, but you're acting like a coward. What do you want to do?
What are you talking about? I'm here fighting. I mean, you're fighting. He comes around this corner. The creature still has not moved, and he can still see it. And he's got line of effect to it, so he is just going to do his whole casting and speak the words, and then the glowing lines of force begin to shimmer around in front of him, and then six of them just as six magic missiles.
Oh, wow.
It's time for a little heightened magic missile for the first time ever.
Yeah. Wow. I've never seen a heightened magic missile. This
heightened
is awesome.
Magic, John. 20 points of damage.
Yo, nice. All right.
Nice.
20 points of damage. Are you guys going to pull this off? I don't know. I really don't know.
No. I doubt it.
Was that a three action, Johnskin?
Yeah, I used all three actions to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Ethel. Big
My turn.
It's your
Ethel.
Turn.
Dude, come on!
Come on, man.
Get all right, it!
Ethel will.
Well,
pick
wait,
up his
this
weapons.
Is why he saved his AOO, I think.
Ethel will pick up his weapons and stand up. Two actions, okay. Or is that part of a movement of standing up? I can pick up my weapons?
Assuming your weapons fell, yeah, it's probably two actions.
Two actions. Okay. And then.
Such a jerk move to make that
I know,
two
it's
actions.
Such
it's so
dirty.
But isn't it technically like
technically absolutely? But it's
I
also
think rigor mortis set in as soon as he went unconscious and he couldn't let go of his weapons.
All right, Ethel.
I'll let
not...
you have your weapons if you role play that you're covered in your own feces, as Rick Mortis said it.
Did you hear Ethel shit on himself before he died?
Horrible bargain.
Okay, I accept your devil's bargain.
All right, you have to really play it up, though.
Yeah, you have to really lean into it
in every attack.
Ethel, in the process of standing up, just feels the like, and it's like. There's like a moment's hesitation. You like see across his face just play out. Not again.
Not again. This is why she left me.
It's so good that Eris, you put up that wall of flesh.
Yeah,
because
at least this
you
can
smell it.
Poop pants was too nasty. Wall of flesh, block that out.
Dude, if she sees this, this might end the whole crush in one like.
It might be too gross.
I imagine even Fire Elemental Suki is like, ooh.
Suki, Suki, you just hear like a big, like ethereal.
This is worth it.
Come on, dude.
He briefly considers using an attempting an impossible act in the Dreamlands to oxy-clean his pants while wearing them. But decides that it may not be the time or the place. Instead, he stands up just a little bit bow-legged. Because, you know, you don't want to spread that around
of course.
Any further than it's already been spread. And he will take a step. And he will take a swing with the scimitar.
Swing away.
Come on, dude. Come on.
Oh my god. We
pump this up. It's the saves for this. It's even if I get the natural 20, it's not gonna behead him, but we can dream.
It's fun.
Natural one.
Oh
stop!
No! It's the poop! It's the poop!
It was the poop!
Take my hero point! Take my hero point!
Oh yeah, use your hero point. Oh, you already had a hero.
I already used it. To roll another natural one.
That's right. I remember that.
It's not my
that
night,
was
guys. Was this up? Was this up, believe it or not.
Capitakaza, you are...
Ice.
Cold.
Ice.
Ice.
I would like to choose... what's the furthest
too
place
late.
From here?
It's already been chosen.
Reykjavik.
All right. Reykjavik. This one is from Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
In Sydney. New South Wales, Australia.
Oh, Sydney.
It's very
in
far Sydney? From here.
That's my name.
That's her name.
Sydney,
Ryan,
you submitted a crit.
Sydney. Unstoppable force. Immovable creature. You hit your enemy hard, really hard, and unfortunately, your weapon gets stuck in a limb. Normal damage to the opponent's armor, or non-lethal damage to them if they have natural armor. And your weapon becomes lodged. You can dislodge it by spending an action to wrench it while they're within reach. So, so it's normal non-lethal damage.
13 points of non-lethal
super
damage.
Super lucky.
Okay.
But your weapon gets lodged in like a wing bone or something.
Thanks, Brian. That actually wasn't...
No, it's not bad.
So
is
bad.
It Brian or Ryan?
Brian. B as in
sorry.
Boy.
I said Ryan. I apologize. Brian.
Thank you, Ryan. good crit, Ry.
Good day, Ryan.
Good day,
Ry.
Oh, there you go, Skid. There you go.
Is it Brian Holland?
I'm wondering.
I don't think he's in Sydney, though. He's not in Sydney.
Is he in New South Wales?
Queensland?
It's all the places
the Gold
I
Coast?
Know.
I believe he's in Melbourne.
Perth?
All right. That was Ethel's turn. Ethel's turn is over. Suki
cool
and Ethel.
Use of your turn, Ethel. Glad I'm dying for you.
Listen, you ended your turn right next to my meat wall.
Oh
no!
And I don't know why you did that.
It was the only way I could get to the dragon.
I know.
Meet their parents.
Here we go.
Wait. Does the meat wall need to attempt to save to? Because of the smell of the poop.
Oh, it can drink potions. Why not?
It doesn't have a nose. It's got a lot of mouths, though.
It's a fair question.
It'll taste his poop.
When it attacks him.
All smell is inhaling the particles of the substance you're smelling.
Yeah.
You guys are being real gross.
You know what? I rolled a natural 18.
Oh, come on.
Is that a critical?
It's a 35.
No. It's not a critical.
Oh. Okay. All right.
6 points
of damage. 6 plus 4. I rolled a 1, so it's 5 points of damage from my mouth.
So a mouth comes out of the wall and bites you.
And then is immediately like...
You know, maybe the wall likes it. Some dogs like eating poop. Maybe my wall likes eating poop.
Gross.
On reflex, Ethel hip checks the wall with his soiled trousers.
I am going to do a move I've done 6 episodes ago called Draconic Frenzy, where I get to use 2 actions to make 2 claw strikes and 1 wing strike in any order. And I'll start with a claw strike on Suki.
Yep.
34 to hit Suki.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah.
Not a crit, though.
No, not a crit.
Okay.
Sydney's getting there. She's getting to that place where she's just like angry.
Oh, I'm going to go down. I know I'm going to go down.
That's 31 points of regular damage.
I am down.
Followed by 5 points of negative, but you're down. You're dying one.
Yep,
so Suki falls.
Yeah, I come out of the form, the elemental form, Sailor Moon style, but less hot. It's a little sad. And she falls to the ground. And you feel bad. And she falls to the ground.
Who feels bad?
Yeah, the audience.
Who's the you?
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right, so you fall. And now it's a couple more attacks on Ethel. Well, this is interesting now. I thought you would last for a couple hits. So second claw is on...
There ever was a time for you Ethel. To roll natural one.
Turn would be this would right. be nice.
It's not a good roll, but I don't know what your AC's at. 28.
My AC is 28.
Ah, that happens... to you
it
more
does.
Than any mm-hmm. other person on this show. Okay. Let's go, man. Just rock, absolute rocks. 28 points of damage.
Slash falls.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Dang it.
Dying three? Okay.
No, the
dying
the
one.
Heal. She treated wounds.
Yeah.
She magic.
Oh, I thought it was just magic spell. I don't think you lose the wounded condition on a magic spell.
On
you
healing?
Lose it on treat wounds.
No, it says, it didn't say such as treat wounds.
I believe treat wounds is the way that you...
That seems crazy to me that, like, magical that healing seems, wouldn't remove wounded, right?
Yeah.
If you have the wounded condition ends if someone successfully restores hit points to you with treat wounds or if you're restored to full hit points and rest for 10 minutes.
I'm pretty sure it's actually just for treating wounds.
What?
That's, so you're...
ridiculous.
A treat wounds takes 10 minutes.
I legitimately do not understand how medicine is supposed to work in this universe. I don't get it. I mean, I know mechanically how it works, but I don't understand like how people
I have treat
are trained
wounds.
Surgeons like
you,
walking around.
You need
around.
The battle medicine feat to use it in combat.
I have the battle medicine feat.
Yeah, you could do it to yourself and end your wounded condition.
Not now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm at wounded 2.
Let's just all die together.
I think so.
Yeah, TPK, anybody? You guys want to just all
two.
Die together.
It wasn't a crit, so you go straight to dying 2. Right?
Well, dying 3.
So
best.
I became wounded 2 when I got healed. And now I'm at dying 3.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's 1 plus. Yeah, you go straight to dying 3. You have the diehard feat?
Yes.
You'll live forever. It has 2 more attacks. The next attack will be on Suki with a tail. Excuse me, it goes claw, claw, tail, right? Let me see if Draconic Frenzy
Even
is...
Even though I'm down?
Yes, excuse me, it's a wing. Yeah, it does no one else to attack.
Battle Medicine specifically mentions that it doesn't remove the wounded feet.
It could attack the wall.
Wow.
It could, and I thought about that. However, you'll enjoy the fact that I rolled a natural one.
There it is.
Yay!
There it is.
It was bound to happen.
That's the one we needed.
That's a Named natural one character. With a wing attack on Suki.
That's what you get for being mean.
You got all distracted during the Sailor Moon phase out.
Yeah,
I did,
like,
I did.
Whoa.
This poop, this Sailor Moon, there's a lot happening.
All right, this one from Tom in St. Louis, Missouri.
Tommy!
Hey. This one is called So Predictable. Apparently, this enemy just has you figured out. Your attack misses, and your target gains +2 to their AC against all attacks from you for 1d4 rounds.
Cool.
It's pretty good. Not terribly relevant here, but doesn't hurt.
Well, as it's attacking unconscious bodies, it can be relevant. And it's for 4 rounds, Suki. I rolled a four on
so
the defense.
+2 to your AC for this. Nice, Thank Tom. You. Thank you,
Thanks.
Tom.
Cool. Thanks, Tommy.
All right, so I do have one more action. Draconic Frenzy is 2 actions to make those 3 attacks. Unfortunately, like now, it's a very, very low chance to hit. And so I'd like to move. And since these bodies are unconscious, I think I will. Let's draw some more people into the room here. So she flies over the bodies and just floats behind the meat wall. And now you may take your meat wall strike.
Okay.
This meat wall is on strike.
Meat wall! Okay, let's see. 29
is a miss.
Damn it.
Oh,
man.
Could have done 6 more points of damage, maybe.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's Aldo's turn. Aldo. Meat wall.
Meat wall.
Aldo has 3 elixirs of moderate elixirs of life. He's going to use 3 actions to gently lay all 3 of them on the table next to him. So I, first come, first serve.
That's not a bad idea. Let's see if anyone will be bold enough to take the challenge. Eris, you're up. You see Aldo right near you place these 3 elixirs of life on the table. You heard some action on the other side of the flesh wall, and now it's very quiet over there, and the dragon has flown out of sight.
Well, I'm also grabbed by the table right now.
You are grabbed by the table.
So,
how's your acrobatics?
I think dex is, like, pretty good for me. So acrobatics, it's not bad. I'm not trained, but I do have, like, the untrained improvisation feat.
Okay.
So can I grab... Well, I'm not going to grab the elixirs unless I know that I can move over there. So I guess I want to try to release myself first.
All right. So you want to take a stab at it and see what happens.
Ooh, that's a good roll. So it's 28.
28 acrobatics?
Yeah, I rolled a natural 16. I have a +12.
Okay. And escape artist is acrobatics, right? Am I remembering that correctly? Or not escape artist, escape action is acrobatics, just making sure.
You can do multiple different things, but I
that's
think
true.
Acrobatics
whatever's,
is one.
Yeah, whatever's best.
Might be athletics.
I think it's athletics. Let me check.
Typically athletics.
It could be thievery. You can attempt an acrobatics or athletics check instead of using your attack modifier if you choose. So that's all to say you succeeded.
Nice.
28. All right, so you're out.
Hell yeah! Okay,
first action.
I'm free
you're
from
out,
the
Tom.
Things.
You're out, Tom.
And you put. Nice. I was trying to plan my turn while you were talking. You put elixirs of life on the table.
Skated. Yes,
Elda. So yeah, I grab those, and
all 3 of them.
Yeah, right
actions.
There. Like you put
You've
them out there.
You've taken 4 actions this turn.
No, I haven't.
I guess you could just go just push them into your thing.
Scoop them up.
It's fine. That's fine. If you want to scoop them all, I'm not going to hold you over the coals here. That's fine.
Quickly, I want to be like, Aldo, these are for on the other side of the wall, right? I'm not being a douche right now taking these.
She says to Aldo.
Oh, no, fine. I mean, they're for whoever wants them.
Okay, I'll take 2 for that.
Oddly calmly.
I'll just take 2.
As the belt starts to tighten around his neck.
Well, I'm having a lucid dream at the moment, so it's an odd sense of calm. It comes with it.
So I take the 2, and I move up within 10 feet of the wall because I need to have another action to give these to you anyways, so I'm going to wait for my next turn to do that.
Right. Tactically smart. We move to the next round. Suki, you move in the initiative order now. Ethel, you're unconscious as well, right?
Unconscious. And
all right, so that means it is Atticus's turn.
Hmm.
And then it is the dragon's turn. Man, this is hairy.
Yeah, so there's just nothing that I can do because of this wall. Nothing. because I can't get near any of the tables either, because it'll be over.
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 So,
yeah, it's really tricky, right? You just, if you go in there, you're just like entering Thunderdome.
Yeah. I'm going to delay.
Okay. Let me get some saves then from Suki first.
Okay.
So it'd be DC 11.
I just noticed.
Oh.
I just noticed we left Pepsi out off by the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pepsi, we never commanded Pepsi this combat.
It kind of stinks when I take elemental forms or animal forms. I can't command Pepsi, so he didn't have anything to do. He's so weak. But I did roll a nat 20 on my save.
Oh. A nat 20 on your recovery check means your dying value is reduced by 2. Yeah. It was at 1, so it goes to 0. So you are now unconscious.
Cool.
Good for you.
And wounded 1.
And wounded 1.
Oh, shoot.
Ethel, yours is DC
16.
So you're good. So oh, no, you go up 1.
Dying 2.
Dying 2, right.
Okay. Dying 2.
Man, it's a long way back.
I'll be wounded 3 if I get out of this, which means if I go down again, I'll go straight to dying 4.
Yeah, this is where we're at. But this is how you die.
This is how you die.
This is how you die.
Keep going down in the same combat if they're going to get you.
Listen, I don't need you motherfuckers to tell me how to die in this game. I've done it enough.
All right, here is what the dragon is going to do now on its turn. It is going to, from where it's standing, attack the section of the wall next to Ethel and Suki. I know from reading the spell it has AC 10 and 75 hit points. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that I can crit it 4 times, because I'm going to use Draconic Frenzy and the fourth attack with a very low BAB to just try and destroy that section of wall so that it can then enter the room. And this would make the flesh wall the greatest spell ever if this takes me more than 2 rounds to do it, because I'm going to use a whole turn here. All right, so Draconic Frenzy, I have to roll higher than a 20 for it to be a crit, and I natty 19 on the first claw.
What section do you hit?
It's the section that's directly adjacent to Ethel.
Okay.
So I'm trying to create a 10-foot opening so I can get through, since squeezing is impossible in combat. Right in if I'm wrong. And that is going to be a critical, obviously. Oh, almost fucking phenomenal. That is, you keep track. So you have 75 hit points on that. And I just rolled 46 points of damage on the first one.
Jeez.
Second claw is another crit. And, oh yeah. Oh yeah. 16, 19, 20.
Just take 2 hits.
If it's more than 29, you do the bottom.
It was exactly 29. So on the second attack of Draconic Frenzy, that section of the wall is destroyed.
Such a cool image. Just slashing it to pieces.
I will forego that third action and just use the rest of my action to fly into the room right to there, right next to Eris, and still in the darkness. Now, Eris is right next to it. Aldo, we can deal with it when it gets to your turn, but you see that it's like right within the sphere of darkness. However, Eris has the magical light, which we've determined is enough to provide light because it's a item 4. So yeah, we should be good. It is Aldo's.
Wait,
Atticus.
You
Atticus
ended your turn next to my wall still.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Mal's on that side.
Forgot about that.
33 to hit.
33 is a hit.
Rolling rocks on this wall, man.
You're killing it.
Yeah, and because you moved,
been a beast.
Because you moved forward there, Eris, like I could have flown further into the room to get away from the wall, but I had to like stop there unless I wanted to tumble through.
That was all part of my plan.
Well, you're a genius. That's really what it comes down to.
9 points of damage.
9 points of damage on the flesh wall. All right, don't forget, I'm keeping track of that non-lethal. All right, so I was going to say Aldo, but Atticus, now you want to go.
What do you mean, keeping track of that non-lethal? Non-lethal just takes your hit points down.
Right, but it knocks you unconscious instead of killing you, right?
only if it's the last hit before you go down. I believe in 2E. I believe that's how it works in 2E. Atticus is going to utilize... he's going to go. He's going to act. He's going to open his Eldritch Amulet and release and drain his bonded item of the day to recast Heightened Magic Missile.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. So 6 magic missiles. Oh, dude, even better. 23 points of damage.
Yes.
On that.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
And he dies.
Still up.
Oh, no problem.
She had a lot of HP, but I mean, it's shocking that this isn't a TPK. It really is shocking. The meat wall, for all the problems it caused, it actually just focused the damage on 2 combatants.
What are we at? Like almost 25, 30 points of damage to the creature too? Like might just be like 20, but that's awesome.
We're at way more.
Yeah.
No, the biting.
No, the
biting.
Oh, with the wall. Oh,
the wall itself was doing damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9, 6, 4, 6. Yeah, that adds up. That adds up. Because it had nowhere to go.
Chip.
Okay. All right. Well, this is interesting. This is really a ticking clock now because you don't know when that breath weapon is going to be able to recharge. And the fact that you're all standing in this room, standing and banging with it, it might be able to hit all of you. And you've seen it lay out your friends.
Oh, it's going
to
do it next turn. It's long overdue.
It's Aldo's turn.
But Aldo's got finally can just blow this thing to smithereens.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I actually have this. Like, oh, there. But can I actually see it, though? Because, like...
Yeah.
All right, so let's look here at the map. So you're just on the edge of the darkness, yes. You are also on the edge of the light. I'm going to say you can fully see it.
Okay, so I'm, like, poking my head into the sphere of light.
I
thought I recognized your scent. And he is going to attempt to throw another bottle of lightning.
Come on, credit.
26.
Damn.
26 a miss, but it gets some incidental damage, which when you get close to the end here is important.
Yep, 4 splash damage.
Okay.
I'm going to... Alright, throw another one. That's 27.
Alright, so another 4.
Another 4 damage. And, yeah, I'm just going to throw Acid Blast. That's a miss, but that's another 4 points of damage.
All right, so, 12 points of damage is 12 points of damage where I stand, but it is still up. And now it is Eris's turn. Eris, do you have anything in your arsenal here?
So now this dragon's in my way, and I can't really get past it to do the potion thing. Tsuki and Ethel.
Yeah, now it's kill or be killed.
Yeah. So I'm going to...
Feel free to tumble through if you'd 5. Rather do that. Well,
tumble again was athletics?
Acrobatics.
But it's either... So I tumble through and then I use one action... To give the potion to one person, one action to give the potion to another.
Right. I'm really just trying to lead you to make the wrong decision here. You know that, like, you're now in danger. Ethel and Suki are a lost cause. You hope for the best for them, but, like, now you're going to die. You just want to attack this fucking thing.
Let's dig into the mechanics here because it's pretty dicey. Is your speed 25 feet?
Yeah.
So you can only move 10 feet.
Oh.
Because of it becomes difficult terrain, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were 30 feet, you could move 15, but you're only 25. So it's, you can't even get through it.
And also using the interact action would provoke from the creature as well.
All right. I'm going to call for guidance.
Manipulate. But if it is manipulated, which it probably is, yeah.
I'm going to call for guidance from the Baba Yaga on myself. Like, please, please. This dragon's breathing down my neck. It smells worse than the poop in the pants. Please, please, please.
You don't know
that. And then I'm going to take a 5-foot step back.
All right, you're going to take a step, just checking. Oh, all right. So guidance only has verbal components, so that doesn't provoke.
And I'm going to cast a spell at you that I hope you fail your fortitude save for.
What's the spell?
Rip the spirit.
Ooh.
Rip the spirit. Pathfinder, second edition.
It's one. Another one when, like, when I actually read the spells when I leveled up, I'm like, this is what she has to take for sure.
Oh, this is interesting. It's one to three actions. So you're using the one action version of it?
So the one action version, it just targets one living creature within range. The two action and three actions make it kind of like an AoE type of thing, which I don't need. So,
all right. What I am going to do is I'm going to take my attack of opportunity on you first.
Even if I take like a, is that another thing in 2E, like taking like a guarded step back or whatever?
You did, but this thing has crit. Oh, wait, you did take a step, but then you cast a spell within its range.
Oh, okay, right, because it's big. Right.
Wait, what spell are you casting?
Rip the spirit.
That's one action?
It's a one to three action,
as
John.
One action.
And that's somatic. All right, so because you're 10 feet away from me, I can use either my wing or my tail. I'll use the tail because it does more damage.
Can I move further away from you then?
If you do the movement, would provoke. So you provoke either way.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just see. Maybe I won't kill you. Or maybe I'll roll a crit.
Probably going to kill me.
Or maybe I'll roll a natural two, which is what I rolled. That is a 24 to hit.
Miss!
Nice.
Miss! Yeah, without using my guidance, which I don't know if I can use it for that AC anyway, but
things are looking up.
That too. All right, this. I mean,
oh my god,
I don't know anything about rip the spear. Rip the spirit.
Rip the spirit. So, the flavor text of the spell is: I supernaturally rip the spirit from a living creature's body, dooming the target to pain and death. It has the death trait. The target takes damage depending on the fortitude save. Basic fortitude save.
Takes 5d6 negative damage, depending on its basic fortitude save, and is drained one if it fails its save. You cast the spell.
Oh, it's immune to negative
damage. And it does nothing, as it is immune to negative damage.
It was using negative energy.
Its breath weapon is negative energy.
You would have known that. Like,
I would have.
Aldo told us that.
Oh. Well, then I don't cast that.
Sadly, the spell has left your hands. It happens. It happens to the best of us, and it also happens.
I just didn't assume that, like, just because they, like, I cast negative damage, and, like, I can take negative damage.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Hey, you only used one action to find out. It's just as good as a knowledge check.
It's not your fault.
Yeah. I mean, I used one action and a fifth level spell slot.
Yeah, but you don't have anything else there, right? Like, you, right?
Yeah. Well, and I can do another wall of flesh.
I can do wall flesh all day.
Please no.
No.
That's okay. That's okay.
You ready, St. Paul? We're coming with a wall of flesh. And we're still fighting this dragon.
All right, it's round 17, and it's our fourth wall of flesh.
Take me.
All right.
Take
it
me
is,
out of my dreams.
It's a new round. We're so close here. Suki, you are still unconscious. Ethel, you are still unconscious.
And dying.
And dying. Which means it's the dragon's turn. I really thought someone else was going to get a chance to go.
You're who? Is there a hero waiting around the corner for us?
You want to wake us up, maybe? The dragon pours a potion in our mouth?
Well, this is interesting here. This is real, real interesting. I think it's time we bring out the old...
No, not the cone.
The old cone again, huh? The old David cone.
Oh, no.
Ooh. Dude, I can't believe how slow you are with this thing.
All right, I can get all of you. Everybody give me a reflex save. Okay.
Like, literally doesn't matter. I'm gonna die.
Notably, Pepsi has been excluded from the cone.
Yeah, Pepsi's doing really well.
Pepsi's doing great.
Pepsi.
Full HP.
Pepsi's best. Can Pepsi 3 use, up combat.
Yeah,
can Pepsi use three actions to wake up?
I wish.
Pepsi. All right, what did everyone roll?
Atticus rolled a natural one.
Oh my god.
Obviously.
I mean, that is...
Obviously! So I'm going to spend the hero point, so it's over. I'm so angry. I knew this. I was waiting for the breath weapon. I was like, reflex is one of my best saves, so I'll just take half my HP in one hit, and then I still have another chance to kill this thing before it's all over. All I have to do is not roll a natural one. And that's what I did.
Okay.
So right, well, I'm going to roll it again.
That's what your bottle cap's for.
Here we go. You son of a bitch, Atticus. Man, right on the line. No, it should be a... Oh, I don't know. 29.
29. Okay. Suki? Not Suki. Eris?
28.
29, 28, and Aldo.
35.
There you go. Nice. Aldo.
Aldo succeeded and will take half damage, which will be 17 hit points. Eris and Atticus take 35 points of negative damage.
35 points.
I am very down.
Oof.
You're down?
Down? Oh, yeah. I had 15 hit points left.
Oh, Troy, dude, you got this. You got it.
What?
The TPK.
Like a fake one because it's a dreamland. It doesn't really.
Oh, but it's so much more
complicated.
It's a
danger room TPK.
You're in you're in a prison on the moon.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we could just wake up, but there's no way back. Literally, I think Strange Aeons ends tonight.
This is it.
What AP are we starting in St. Paul?
Wait, so hold on. Suki's unconscious and stable and wounded one. Ethel is unconscious and stable and wounded three.
I'm a dying two.
Dying two.
Oh, you're still dying. Eris is now dying. Aldo and Atticus are still up.
Yes.
But by a pubic hair.
That's gross, but sure.
All right. I mean, this could be horrific for the campaign. And it's Atticus's turn. I mean, not horrific, amazing, but like crazy, like off the rails wild. You're on a prison on the Dreamlands moon. What do you do, Atticus?
Atticus. I'm thinking about
Harry Carey.
We always come down that it's in your hands.
This is so crazy, but...
Oh, wait. Does the wall of flesh go down when Eris goes down?
It doesn't.
No.
Because then
it's not concentration. So
okay, I didn't know if that would affect this before. Atticus.
However, the wall does attack the dragon at this turn.
That's right.
Oh. Natural two that time. Yeah, that's
damn.
Fan fumble for the wall.
19,
No, that is a fumble, but no, it's a miss. Atticus. Joseph H. O'Brien.
Okay.
Joey H. They call him.
Okay. This is it, baby. All the marbs.
Is there a roll involved?
Not for me.
Okay.
Atticus is going to move up between the tables across from Aldo. Certain that he is going to be grabbed, and this will be his last action of the combat. And trying desperately to utilize the flesh wall as a barrier to protect his allies. He's going to blast a cone of cold at this thing.
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it's immune to cold. It very well may be, but I don't have the action economy for a knowledge check, so I'm blasting it.
All right. Now, this won't hit Ethel. Can you shape it in a way that... I mean, it's got to hit either Eris or Ethel, right?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping the flesh wall blocks Ethel. And if it doesn't, yes, it's just going to hit Ethel.
That's tricky.
It's a little bit of coverage.
It passes through the wall, but it's a cone. It's area of effect. I don't know how you want to rule that.
Where I was standing, if I get any angle that leaves them out of it, it opens me to an AOO. which I can't take.
Well, and actually, it's you're in AOL territory because of its 15-foot range on the tail.
Oh, I was just trying to stay out of that range. So
yeah, so you move further back.
I can't see the tables now, but oh no, I couldn't move up to here. I didn't have enough movement, I don't think. Oh no, I do have enough movement to get there. Does that matter?
Yeah, you could be there or one step to the south, and that's 20 feet away.
All right, one step to the south. Okay, yeah, so there.
I think that's a worse angle.
I think, and this is my opinion, we're all on the same team here in terms of the game. I think your best bet is to hit Eris, because Eris can sustain more dying than Ethel can.
That's a good meta version.
The worst thing's going to happen is, I mean, I guess she still has to roll a reflex save. So she could critically fail your reflex save and go down two, but... I just thought
the wall would protect them. So you're saying it doesn't, so I will pitch it toward Eris.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. And even Matthew thought it would hit him as well.
Well, Kate, you haven't used your hero point either.
Yes, so this would be a good place to use it if you feel... Because you get a minus 40 reflex.
If you step back
any further, you'll hit Aldo. Because you could step back a little further.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've looked at this... Believe me, for the last half hour, I've been looking at this. I've been running scenarios. and with that
like Whopper
hit,
in War Games.
And with me failing that save with that hit, like one more hit and I'm down. So, like, this is my last action. And I, you know, who knows? I could do no damage to him. I could, her, I could do some. It's just terrifying.
All right. Eris, go ahead and roll a reflex save. And keep in mind, you have a minus 40 to your reflex while you're unconscious.
Oh, let me add the unconscious condition. Minus 4.
Yeah, that should automatically do the math for you.
I added dying, but not unconscious.
Dying, I think, gives you unconscious, but I don't know what Path Builder does.
Yeah, not on this. I got a 26.
26. Okay. You want to stick with that, probably. That doesn't seem like a critical failure.
Yeah, I feel like it's fine.
I'll roll mine here on roll 20. 35.
Why'd you roll it on roll 20?
Just so you could all see it.
Okay, 35. Great. Here we go.
So not a critical success, it sounds like.
I rolled really well. I rolled 50 points of damage, halved for you is 25.
Wow.
Cold. I don't know if it's immune to cold, but it's 25 damage.
25. So I didn't critically succeed with the 35.
No, you did not critically succeed with a 35.
Wow, was critical success?
37,
so it was pretty damn close. And I rolled it right there, so you could all see it on roll 20. You guys can't see it at home, but they could all see it. Eris, so you take 35, so you just go straight to dying 2. Last time we were in St. Paul, it was fucking cold, wasn't it?
The coldest game in St. Paul Saints history.
Yep.
There was a cone of cold upon the game. I didn't even go to the game. I went to the brewery. Wait if you guys come afterwards.
I remember meeting you like at that brewery or like somewhere right after, and the cold was in my bones for like another hour and a half. Like it was just in my body. It was
different
so cold.
Different kind of cold there.
Yeah, it's a different kind of cold up there, man.
It's a magical cold that I can't wait to get back to you, but we're going to be going in May. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to be there next week. There might even be tickets available. I don't know. We're recording this a few weeks before the show. It might be sold out. VIP's sold out. Then we're in Asheville a couple days later. That one's definitely not sold. I'd be shocked. Please come out to those shows because there's a good chance your heroes will still be alive because the dragon is dead. We'll see you at St. Paul!
Holy shit, bro!
Let's go! Echo is leading into his poop-stained trousers.
There it is!
We did it! We did it!
If we go down, we go down together!
Amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.